Welcome back to another episode of One More Can I Say a Scared Boy Fancast. I'm Sabra Kojas.
And I'm May, and I still don't have a child out in the world yet.
Your due date was 3 days Friday. Ago?
Yeah.
So your due date was Friday the 13th.
Yes, it was, and it would have been so rad if the baby had been born on Friday the 13th in October. That would have ruled. But I didn't.
My sister was born on Friday the 13th, 6 months away from in October.
See, that's also cool.
So her half birthday was recently. Was this Friday the 13th. Nice. I also found out recently that my cousin, I knew my cousin had a baby, and we're not close at all, but we follow each other on Instagram. I haven't seen her since I was like 10, I don't know. That's not true, like 17. But she had a baby, and my mom was like, oh, like, what's the baby's name? So I like went back to Instagram, I was like, oh, name's Poppy, whatever. And then I noticed that the photo was on August, I think, 22nd, and it said 2 weeks old today. Whatever the date was exactly, I was like, wait a second, 2 weeks prior to when this photo was posted is August 15th.
Right.
Which is my birthday.
That's so rude.
So this, my fucking first cousin once removed, stole my birthday.
I'm disgusted. I'm sick.
You should be.
I intentionally did not have the baby on your birthday.
Did you intentionally do that?
2 months, 2 months premature.
Yeah.
I made a conscious effort to not have a premature baby on your birthday.
So anyway, that's just to say that we still have another episode of this podcast in us. Yeah. And then after that, May
Question
will forget
mark?
I exist, and she'll never want to do the podcast again.
No, like I said, I'm going to be sending you memes about Avril Lavigne at 4 a.m.
Yes, but my fear is that you're going to be like, you think right now that you're like, oh, yeah, I'm still going to be the same person I was on October 16th as I am on October 17th. And that's just simply not going to be true. Because if Avril Lavigne taught us anything, having a baby means sitting at home alone watching
right,
MTV.
Right, of course. Yes. Jot that down, folks.
Yes.
My cat is also going nuts behind me.
I see it, but I can't hear it, so.
Okay, that's good. We moved a shelf and we found a toy that she has not seen in like a year. And she's so excited. So she's popping up.
I love that for her. Because also, it's not like you're still going to have three cats and a law
four
job.
Four cats
and a law
four
job.
Cats, yeah.
It's too many. It's too many cats.
Perfect number of cats.
And a baby. You're going to want to do, like, baby things. You're going to want to, like, hang out with your baby.
Oh, yeah. I'll absolutely be doing that.
And therefore, you're not going to want to do this podcast. Which means that we're only going to have 6 episodes in this season.
Well, listen, if the people demand it, you guys have to be vocal.
I think the people do demand it. We got another Spotify follower.
That is true. Everyone get vocal about it. Demand that I make more episodes.
Yes. If you want to get vocal, you can DM me on Instagram. It's at Kojisatz, KOJISATZ. You can also send us a voice memo. The link is in the episode description of this episode and all the other episodes. You can also leave us a comment on Spotify, or you can send a message in a bottle.
Sky yes, writing, that works every time. Pigeon. If you want to, if you're like a really huge fan of the podcast, I would say make 6 to 7 sock puppet accounts on various social networks so that you can message Sabra acting like you're multiple different people.
That sounds great. I love that. You could also get all your friends to listen and then get them to message me. That would actually be better.
You actually should do, if you haven't done that anyway, then you're a fake fan.
That's true. If you're one of our biggest fans, or so you think, and you haven't told your friends to listen to this podcast, we still love you. It's okay.
No, I'm going to maintain my antagonistic relationship with our audience. How dare you? You're terrible.
I need them to like us so that you'll be forced to do the podcast. Anyway, we're going to start this episode talking about Avril Lavigne's dating thing right now. Those are, in fact, the episodes that do best for us, including Avril's next boyfriend we're picking this time. That was
right.
A pretty good episode
yeah.
for us.
I'm glad.
But today, I'm going to pull up this article from People magazine, and it says, Avril Lavigne and Tyga are totally done following an on-again, off-again romance. I didn't know that they were back together, so.
Oh, I knew that. Yeah, well, I think we talked about it on the podcast very briefly, but it was like sort of non-news because it was just that they were like, never mind, we're casual now.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, we're friends. We're going to this party together. Right. And like, I guess what I think is difficult for us to understand is that we're normal people and celebrities are not normal people. And I don't know that celebrities are capable of having friends. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at it from from the perspective of friends don't exist.
Yes.
Which is weird to us as people who have opposite sex friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good assessment. Yeah, it's just like, and especially Avril, I feel like, again, I know that I've referenced it before, but the what they were experiencing was friendship quote from Arrested Development. I've never felt this way about anyone before. What they were experiencing was friendship. That's Avril.
Yes.
In a nutshell.
I mean, it makes sense. I'm sure we've said this before, but this concept that Avril doesn't have friends makes sense because the whole thing about it, I'm not like other girls, or being a pick me, is that it alienates you from other women.
Yes. Massively so.
And I understand that it's hard as a attractive female to have male friends because they don't want to be friends. They want to sleep with you.
Especially if you have an enormous amount of social capital. More so than most of them do.
Yes. And yes, so much. So, yeah, I fully understand that, like, it's difficult to maintain male friendships, but then that means you like have to make more of an effort to have female friendships.
Yeah.
And you can't do that if your whole thing is women are annoying.
Yeah, it's very true. I wonder what her relationship is like with her family. I would be interested in learning more about that.
Well, we know in her Let Go album, granted this was 20 years ago, that she like wrote a whole letter like at the end of the booklet that was like to everyone in her family. And, like, said, like, thanks to my siblings for, like, putting up with my singing around the house and blah, blah, blah. But, like, on social media, like, I don't see any indication of, like, her going to see her family or anything like that.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And, I mean, I've actually never thought about her siblings once.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously they're just private and more power to them. And, like, she's pretty private, too.
Right.
As celebrities go. So maybe she's just like over there all the time. But at the same time, I assume they still live in Canada. Because like who leaves Canada unless they become famous? You know what I mean? You're just kind of stuck up there.
Yeah. No, I also very much assume they're in Canada. So she probably doesn't see them that often. But that doesn't mean, I mean, you can still talk to them. And when you're that wealthy, it's not difficult to go see people. You know, because you have money. Okay, so the article says, Avril Lavigne and Tyga have ended their whirlwind romance for good. After dating on and off since February, the complicated singer and the Rack City rapper are totally done after a brief reunion, a source confirms to People exclusively. I want to comment, why do we keep referring to her as the complicated singer? She's had like a million albums come out since Let Go and since Complicated was a single.
I will say, though, there was a different article that referred to her as the Faded Singer, and I was like, what song is that?
I have no idea.
I don't even
idea
know
what
that one.
They don't just mean that she's, like, faded out of the social consciousness?
Or just, like, cross-faded, perhaps? No, it said the Tyga, who had on a loose-fitting attire, also cozied up. It's a little flashback to Paris Fashion Week, where they first announced their relationship. And it's an insane series of sentences, which is as follows. Tyga, who had on a loose-fitting attire, also cozied up to Lavigne by placing his arm around her. On the other hand, the faded hitmaker donned an oversized hoodie that covered her upper body and matched it with thigh-high boots. Like, why'd you write it that way? That was the craziest way you could have written it, and I don't know what song Faded is. And also, why did you say on the other hand?
Okay, so if I type in Avril Lavigne Faded, there is something that comes up on YouTube, but it's not. It's an Alan Walker song.
Yeah, like, I think they're wrong. Like, whoever wrote this just doesn't know who she is. And did some, like, really shoddy Google search that led to something that
How
I can't...
How would that be what it led to, though?
I have no idea.
That doesn't make any sense.
Major typos. I don't know what happened.
What?
Because I was, like, faded... I guess that's a Tyga song, but then they describe the outfit, and I'm like, well, Tyga wasn't wearing that.
Wait, okay, let's type in Tyga Faded. Faded is a song by Tyga.
Oh my god, what a mess. Wow, I can't believe that Tyga was wearing an oversized hoodie that covered her upper body and matched it with thigh-high boots. Boy, that's embarrassing. This is why exclamation point entertainment. So I guess we can't expect much because Yahoo's falling apart at the absolute seams.
Yikes. Okay, so back to People. Says, reps for Levine and Tyga did not immediately respond to People's request for comment. The pair was last publicly seen attending a 4th of July party at Nobu restaurant in Malibu, California over the summer. Why do they go to Nobu so fucking often? They had also hung out in Las Vegas the previous weekend as photos surfaced of the pair chatting at what appeared to be the VIP section of Encore Beach Club, where they both performed. In June, People confirmed Levine and Tyga split after 3.5 months of dating, though they appeared to remain on very good terms during the subsequent public appearances. Romance rumors involving both musicians first sparked when they were photographed hugging after sharing a meal at Nobu on February 19th, though an insider told People at the time the two were genuinely friends and nothing more, lol. People confirmed days later that Levine's engagement to musician Motsen had ended less than a year after his proposal in Paris. Levine and Tyga then set off for Paris together, where they were spotted on multiple outings during Paris Fashion Week. The pair stopped by Leonardo DiCaprio's party and were photographed kissing outside the Hunter Schafer party on March 6th. Both stars have kept busy as of late. Earlier this month, Tyga hosted a screening of The Exorcist Believer for influencers in Los Angeles and attended Selena Gomez's inaugural Rare Impact Fund benefit. Meanwhile, Levine attended several shows by designers including Christian Siriano and Dion Lee during New York Fashion Week last month.
Good for them. So I was wondering who the author was, the journalist, shall we say, who got that detail so wrong. And so I Googled the author of that article.
Uh-huh.
And one of the first things that came up was an article that they posted, 3 hours ago that says rapper Tyga demands sole custody of son with Blac Chyna. So he's having a wild couple weeks.
So the journalist from the article where he can't even tell the difference between a Tyga song and an Avril Lavigne song is very focused on Tyga's life? Like, yes. Is it just one of Tyga's friends, maybe?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. But it's interesting because apparently Blac Chyna filed a lawsuit in August against Tyga to establish paternity and collect child support for their 10-year-old son. So what is happening in this dude's life? Like, the kid's 10 years old. He gets sued for paternity in August of this year. And his response is, I want sole custody. Like, brought a lawsuit to establish that he's the dad and demand child support.
Okay, so Blac Chyna is saying, you're the dad.
Yes.
You owe me money. Tyga's saying, I'm not going to pay you money. And then she was like, okay, then I'm going to sue you, so you are forced to pay me money. And then he said, fuck that, I would rather just have the kid all the time.
Right, which is like, did you not, if paternity was in dispute, then why do you now want sole custody? It's been 3 months. Are you just besties with this kid now?
Yeah, wait.
I'm so confused.
I understand being like, well, why would I pay you money? Why would I pay for a child that I have no relationship with? And so, like, wanting a relationship.
Right.
But I have a question. I have no idea how, like, paternity, how, like, child support things work.
I will say I'll be out of my depth the second you ask a question, but I'll do my best. Okay.
Well, I'm not really necessarily asking from, like, I guess a law perspective is obviously, like, the highest perspective, but I would be asking anybody this question.
Yeah.
So if you have a child with somebody and you do joint custody, does anybody owe anybody else child support?
I think it depends. Now, really take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt because I absolutely don't remember any of this, but I think part of it is dependent on like what the expectations were within your relationship already. Like, it's kind of the same thing with divorce a lot of the time, where if you were led to believe that you would have a certain lifestyle,
mm-hmm,
then there's more of a reason for that person to need to pay you. But if you're making way more money than they are or something like that, then like that you're not going to need support from them.
Right. Because I remember seeing like this, I think it was like an Am I the Asshole or something like that. And the person was, it was like an 18-year-old child. And he was like, I got this girl pregnant and like, I don't want anything to do with it. And for some reason, a lot of the comments were like, you can choose not to have anything, like, any relationship with the child, but, like, you can't opt out of child support. And I was like, wait a second. Like, is everyone is just forced to give child support all the time is, like, kind of what it sounded like in these Reddit comments, and I was, like, confused.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that broadly is no, but you would need to, like, look circumstance by circumstance. And I would also say, a lot of armchair lawyers on Reddit. Oh, boy.
Yes.
Boy, do I see some things on Reddit.com. Wow. Yes. Wow, wow, wow. But I don't know anything about family law, so I will say, don't take anything I say related to family law seriously. I don't know.
I guess my big overarching question is if, like, if you get pregnant and the dude is like, I don't want anything to do with this, before you ever have the baby, like, that to me seems like he should also not have to pay child support. But I don't know if that's true or not.
I genuinely don't remember. I'm sure that I knew the answer to that at one point, but it's been a long, long, long time.
I guess if you're saying it is the lifestyle thing and the father of the child has opted out prior to the arrival of the baby, maybe.
Yeah, there's no expectation. I mean, it's like, but that's more in the divorce context, because with the divorce, you agreed to a lifestyle together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I assume it's similar with child support.
I also don't understand the concept of alimony, if we're being honest with ourselves, because I understood for a while, I was like, okay, yeah, you get divorced, and if, like, you made a lot less money than your spouse, they have to give you some money for a while, because, again, the expectation of what your life was gonna be. But then, like, Kelly Clarkson owed her now ex-husband, like, millions in alimony. And I'm like, but he's wealthy. He's not as wealthy as she is, but he's also wealthy.
Yeah. I wonder what if they had a prenup, or, I mean, it's possible that that stuff was agreed to in advance.
Seems like a bad prenup for Kelly, if that's what happened. I would also be interested if they had a prenup. I assume all celebrities have prenups.
Me too. I mean, I feel like it would be wild not to.
Right. But then it also seems like she got really fucked anyway, so then it makes me think, like, maybe they didn't have a prenup, and that's why all this is happening.
Yeah.
Because the prenup always would be, I would assume, to protect her, because she was always the wealthier one.
Right, of
course. Anyway.
Wasn't there an issue in their relationship where he was, like, jealous of her success?
Yes.
Well, I feel like you really should not, this is not from a legal perspective, but just from a moral perspective, I feel like you shouldn't be entitled to the other person's money if part of the reason you broke up was because you were jealous of their success. Yeah. I feel like you've forfeited. You could have ridden those coattails. You could have shut the hell up and ridden those coattails and gotten that bag.
Yeah. What we know about the divorce is that they divorced and it was bad. That's, like, all of the official news, and then everything else is what we've gathered from Kelly's songs. So she says in Christmas Isn't Canceled, Just You, she says the line, underneath the mistletoe, you've been so bad, indicating that he had cheated on her.
Right.
And then there's a song off her recent album where she says, like, I don't remember what the line is. I've talked about this before, but it's basically, like, it doesn't matter that you claim you love this other person. Like, I don't get anything for being innocent in the situation, which then implies also that he, like, not just cheated, but, like, fell in love with somebody else, which might have been what happened when he met Kelly, because when they had met, he was married, I think. Oof. And she was like, but I want him. I know he's married, but I want him. So, like, I don't know the timeline of any of these things. I don't know if he cheated on his ex-wife with Kelly, or if he just left her for Kelly, or if he left her separately. Like, I don't know any of that, but it does seem like there is a little bit of a pattern of behavior. And then we also know from the recent album that I don't remember the song or what the line is, but there was some indication of, like, you couldn't handle my success.
Right.
And, like,
I like that this is sometimes a Kelly Clarkson podcast.
I love Kelly Clarkson. I've been to more Kelly Clarkson concerts than Avril Lavigne concerts, so that's why it's.
I've been to the same amount of both of those. big zero.
But it's especially, I understand what you're saying 100%. You should not get alimony if you've dumped the person because they were too successful.
Right.
Also.
Doesn't it seem, like, shitty?
Yes. Also, it's not like he was dating her pre-fame. It's not like he was dating her at the beginning of her career. It's not like he was dating her I would even give, like, this is a bad example, but it's just the only one that I can think of off the top of my head. So we're going to pretend like everything is fine and we're not going to comment on this relationship. Ariana Grande and Mac Miller, when they were dating, it was prior to Ariana Grande's like massive rise in fame. Like it was still a little bit when she was doing the bubblegum pop. She was, I think, maybe still on Nickelodeon at the time. She was famous, but she was not the absolute superstar level fame that she is now. I'd get if that's when you started dating and then she blew up and you were like, now I'm insecure. Mm-hmm. But like Kelly Clarkson is ridiculously famous and has been ridiculously famous and is not getting any less famous. And like, what did you think?
Yeah, it's so, so weird to be a baby about that, really.
What?
Big eye roll. Anyway, I'm very bewildered by this Tyga story. And I'm also amused.
Yeah.
And it is also funny that, I mean, his life seems to be absolutely wild right now. Because he, like, he's with Avril. He breaks up with Avril after getting her an $80,000 necklace. They get back together. He gets sued for paternity. He demands sole custody of the kid while breaking up with Avril again. Like, man, you gotta, you need a little break. I don't know what's happening to you.
Do you think maybe Avril has anything to do with, like, maybe he didn't want custody of the kid when they were dating, and then because they were breaking up, he was like, well, now I do want custody of the kid. Like, maybe Avril didn't want a kid.
Well, the kid's also 10 years old, you know? Yeah. So, like, there was a time, like, I'm not going to research this because I'm not actually interested in Tyga at all, but I do think it's, like, I would love to know, just out of curiosity, as though he were a random stranger who's not a celebrity, how we got to the point of the paternity lawsuit happening when the child is 10, and then the immediate, I would like sole custody of the child that it sounds like I just established was mine.
Right. Well, I mean, I can understand if, well, actually, I don't know. I have no idea how child support works, but I would assume that you have to prove paternity to pay child support or not is what I'm about to question out loud.
Yes, to get out of child support, you would prove that you're not the dad. I mean, Maury Povich hit us
right
up. Is Maury Povich alive? I genuinely
yes,
don't know.
Yes, he is. Whoa. He's so old, though. I just saw him on, like, a TikTok clip of him on a podcast recently talking about a time when a woman had twins, and this dude was like, I'm not the father, and she's like, you are the father of my twins. And then Maury reads, like, oh, of this first child, you're not the father, and the dad is so excited doing, like, cartwheels, but then he was the father of the other twin.
Whoa. Chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess they were fraternal twins, and somehow the eggs got fertilized separately. She just, I don't know. So, my question, though, is that if Tyga had a relationship with this 10-year-old, if you wanted to get out of child support, you have to prove the paternity.
Yes.
So Blac Chyna wouldn't be able to just be like, but you've been this child's father for 10 years, therefore you owe me child support regardless.
Right. I mean, I would imagine so. I don't... Again, we're getting into the weeds of...
I just have a lot of questions about child support, and I hope to never experience it personally, so I need to discuss it on a podcast.
That is valid. That's valid. You can't learn by doing, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if the concern is that Tyga, or the question here, did Tyga not have a relationship with this kid for 10 years? And now, all of a sudden, Blac Chyna wants child support?
I guess we'll never know.
And then is the question, we're not going to know, but then is the question that Tyga was claiming this child wasn't his for 10 years? And then Blac Chyna was like, well, I'll fucking sue because I know that it is yours.
Yeah, I guess because neither of us will ever be interested enough in Tyga to do any outside research on this, we'll never know.
We're just going to keep asking questions and never really care to know what the answer is.
Yes, but we'll ask them in such a way that we're implying on the podcast that there's literally no way to find out and we're mad about it. But it's really just that we don't Google anything that isn't animal-related. And this is too tangential.
Yes. I mean, we did a lot of Maud Sun research at one point.
We did.
But he was engaged to her at the time that we were doing that, so. Mm-hmm. Okay. now that we've talked about that, we are now going to, because this may be the last episode ever, maybe the last episode for a long time. We'll see how quickly I edit the previous episodes. We are going to do a retrospective. Yes. Looking back on our 66 episodes of this podcast.
Ooh.
How have we changed? How have our opinions on Avril changed? What's new, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, I would say one big thing, just in terms of, like, content. I feel like when we went into this podcast, we were not actually that focused on Avril. We were focused on Skater Boy.
Yes, you know? Entirely.
So it's just interesting to see how it's evolved, because I really actually feel like I didn't know anything about Avril when we started, other than the fact that she is deeply suffering from deep internalized misogyny, and that opinion hasn't changed.
Yeah, I knew she was Canadian.
True. And honestly, those are the pretty core facts that I've taken with me this whole time, and everything else that I've learned about her has supported one of those two things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess our theory that she's cheated on all of her partners is related to her misogyny, and also the fact that she's Canadian.
Yeah. Canadians always cheat.
That's
and then they say
learned.
Sorry afterward.
That's the takeaway from What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy fan cast.
Yes,
all Canadians
is.
Cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a good point. I also think when we had initially planned out this episode, like, if you look back at our original text thread, there were maybe three episodes that actually made it into the podcast.
Right.
We had planned out, I think, 12, maybe. And you were like, cool, one for each month. That's a year of podcast.
Yes.
And then a lot of those ideas were not really ideas. One of them was, like, lesbians.
Yep. I still think it has legs.
Does lesbians have more or less legs than
Skater Boy from a man's perspective? Our greatest episode yet, coming soon.
Not coming soon. Coming maybe.
Coming eventually.
Question mark?
Donate to our podcast. We won't figure out a way to make it.
Make Skater Boy from a man's perspective.
Yes.
So I think we, even really what happened was that we made 9 episodes. We made fully 9 of them. And then I think we like cut some of them when we re-recorded everything. Because I remember specifically looking at Let Go as a whole album, that was like a new thing during the re-record. And then having Noah from the podcast on the podcast was brand new, because we were really, really struggling for an episode idea.
Yes, we were.
And I remember you being like, it would be really funny.
I'm a monster.
And it was.
It was funny.
It was funny. And then it was like not so funny, but like still kind of funny.
But it was always content.
Yes, it was always content.
It was always, I think we can agree, it was always content.
I wonder if there's some sort of stand-up bit in the Noah story.
Oh, there must be. That's really funny.
Yeah. Okay, well, think about that.
There's also a lot of stand-up potential with various Google Forms, and I think that we need to go harder with the Google Forms.
I'm sure he blocked my number, but do we want to send a Google Form to the man that was the last Hinge date I went on, and I had a very bad experience, and he made me feel really bad about myself for something that's out of my control?
That one's gonna have to be a you decision. I can't have anything to do with that.
That's healthy, because you know if you said yes, I would do it, and the answer should be no.
I'm worried that if I say yes, you'll do it, and if I say no, you'll do it. So I have to give neither opinion.
Yeah, the feedback form is, I wish people filled it out.
I know, it's so lame. It, like, actually irritates me as a person who loves a Google form. how can you resist the siren song of a Google form? Genuinely, how do you not fill it out? It's in your inbox and you just don't fill it out?
Well, it's not in his inbox, it's in a text thread. But the dude, the vaping dude the vaping skater boy, that I ultimately wouldn't have wanted to be with because he vapes and doesn't really eat vegetables, but he ghosted me. I texted him a Google feedback form, and he never answered it. And I feel like maybe I even followed up. I don't quite remember. And nothing. Oh, no, I don't think I did. I think I said originally, like, if you're going to ghost me, can you just tell me why for my records? And he didn't respond. And then I sent the Google feedback form.
Yes, but that's exactly what happened.
What's important about this is that TikTok had this feature for a little bit that they've kept, but they've renamed. But I believe it's the same feature. So they had this feature for a while, for like a week before everyone flipped the fuck out because it's a terrible feature, which was if somebody has your number saved in their phone, you will see their TikToks. And it'll come up as like, this person has your number saved. And then they changed it. And now it comes up as like, people you may know. But I can tell it's still the same thing because I don't have that guy's number saved in my phone. I just have the text thread, never saved his number. And he comes up on my TikTok a lot. So
yeah, that's sus.
He definitely still has my number. So he's getting the texts. He's getting the feedback forms. Yeah, truly. I will say, I think that I definitely like Avril less since doing the podcast.
I agree with you.
I think that she's not good. It's not that she's not, like, talented or anything, but just that, like, she is a person. I never followed her on social media before, and her social media presence really bothers me. It's very, like, I'm getting drunk, and I'm sticking my tongue out, and fuck you, and I have middle fingers up all the time, and I don't like that.
Yeah, that's frustrating when you're, like, at her big age, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's teen behavior, and I understand you became famous when you were a teen, but I think maybe it's time to modify the image a tad.
Well, it also feels incongruous with the style of music.
It does.
It doesn't. It feels like maybe there are other styles of music that can get away with that persona, and pop punk isn't one of them.
Right.
And so, it, like, there's a dissonance that is bothersome to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was very much, like, the all-time low image from years ago, but they were in high school when they got famous, as we have established before.
Yeah.
And she was also in high school when she got famous. And I feel like they have modified kind of, I mean, some of their lyrics are still definitely like that.
I don't mind writing songs that are fuck you.
Right.
I love F You is one of my favorite Avril songs.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm totally good with that. It's the like the physical images of her on her Instagram story with the middle fingers up. Being I'm so bored and life is terrible and fuck you. Like, bestie, your life is actually really great, first of all. And second of all, like,
go spend money about it.
Right, literally.
You know?
And it just feels like she's, like, pretending. It feels fake, I think, is a lot of the issue. And it like, feels like she's trying to be a badass, but if she just was herself, we would all see her as a badass. And instead, I see her as a fraud, in that sense.
Get her ass.
Yeah.
I think that it's interesting that you say that, because when she first came onto the scene, there was a feeling of, like, she is a kid who has been given a lot of aspects of her image. And she's, like, playing that part really hardcore. Like we talked about last episode with the interview that she did where she was rude to the interviewer.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like she's just playing a part, but at the same time, she believes it.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's playing the part so hard because every teenager is, like, they have a role in their head that they're playing really hard. You know? So I don't, it doesn't bother me when a teenager does it. But when you are older, it's silly. Well,
yeah, it made sense when she was a teenager because that skater vibe was like, fuck the man, like, screw authority, blah, blah, blah. That made sense. Mm-hmm. And it does not feel correct. Like, when I think of pop punk, it's like when I think of it now, like, an all-time low now, or like, a good Charlotte now, like, I don't know, you listen to their songs and it's like, yeah, oh, authority is bad, but it's not like fuck my fans kind of in in the way that her social media feels often like it is. And I mean, this is like a really personal one, not really personal as in like I'm being vulnerable, just like I understand this is a me issue and not anybody else's problem, but I don't love alcohol.
Yeah.
And I don't love how much she drinks. Mm-hmm. And then especially for her to have been engaged to somebody who's sober feels not great to me. It does feel like she should cut back on the drinking, because drinking, fun fact, is very bad for you.
It's
even in moderation.
Poisonous. Yeah.
It is. Like, it's so poisonous.
Extremely poisonous.
It's when people are like, oh, like, and it's fine in moderation. Like, there are lots of drugs that we do not say are fine in moderation, and frankly, I think alcohol should be on that list.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is like a, as we've established on this podcast before, the only reason that we're not sober is just because we're not sober, but other than that, we're sober.
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm sober and then have a drink and like have to feel like bad about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But essentially we're sober because neither of us drink ever.
Yeah. Well, you haven't drank in at least 9 months.
Yes. I have not had alcohol since the first week of 2023, and it's now October.
I last had alcohol Memorial Day. So much more recent. That's May, June, July, August, September, October, 5 months.
That's still a long time.
That's a long time. And it's especially long when you consider that I've been doing, like, stand-up open mics, where often the requirement is, like, a one-drink minimum.
Yep.
And except for the very first open mic we went to, every other time I got ginger ale or something.
Yes.
Or, like, a lemonade.
Catch me with a Shirley Temple at the function.
Yeah. Oh, I should get a Shirley Temple. It's just
so much
sugar.
They're genuinely so good.
They're so good, but there's so much sugar. And soda is also, fun fact, very bad for you.
It is, but also it's not going to poison you quite so bad.
Right. It's not as poisonous nor as addictive. And it's also much cheaper.
Yes. If you're going to have a fun and quirky drink, make it a cold Sprite.
I'm really into this thing called Olipop, which are prebiotic sodas.
Yes.
They have 9 grams of fiber in them, so you poop so well the next day. There's very little sugar in them, although they are sweetened with stevia, so I'm just waiting for the day that we find out that stevia is actually bad for you. But we haven't hit that yet, so.
Yes. One time, a really long time ago, before stevia was like a very common thing that everyone knew about.
Yeah.
Someone that my mom vaguely knew posted some long thing on Facebook that was like titled Cooking with Stevia. And my mom thought she had a daughter named Stevia. And that the post was going to be about cooking with her daughter.
Yeah.
She was like, wow, interesting name.
Should you name your baby Stevia?
Yeah. Stevia, just whatever. Roll the dice.
Yeah, I love it. Perfect. I'm so glad I named your child for you.
Excellent. Middle name Ramona for Avril.
I was going to say, if you wanted to honor me with your child, you could take my middle name. It's Catherine with a Y. So that may or may not be Irish, because it was my grandmother's name and she is part Irish.
Yeah, that's very true. What if I just name my child Cactus?
Cactus fruit.
It's pretty good.
It sounds like Moonbeam Zappa or whatever her
it
name
does.
Is. Blue Apple. Ivy.
Oh my god, I went to say Apple. I guess, what is his last name? The Coldplay guy?
Oh, I have no idea. Cold
Martin?
Play.
Apple Martin? An Apple Martin sounds like a species of weasel. Doesn't it?
None of these men are named Apple.
Coldplay guy's daughter is with Goop Lady is named Apple.
Okay, wait, hold on for a sec. Okay, so there's Jonathan Buckland. His spouse is Chloe Lee Evans. They have two children.
No, this is Chris. I think his name is Chris.
Chris Martin. Okay, Chris Martin is.
He was married to Gwen Stefani at one point.
Oh, yes. Previously
not
married
Gwen
Stefani.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's the wrong Gwen. Gwyneth Paltrow. Goop Lady.
Goop Lady Gwen Paltrow. Now he's with Dakota Johnson. And he has
a child named Apple.
Oh, no. That's okay. Gwyneth. Simon Pegg and Martin's band our daughter's godfathers. No way, I have to go up her. Oh my god, I'm talking so close to my mic too. I'm so sorry, guys. Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow married their daughter Apple. Yeah.
Yes. When she's in a bad mood, sour apple.
No.
I was going to make a point about that, and it was going to be really funny, but now I don't remember. I will say, when I was first trying to come up with his last name so that I could say Apple Martin, I almost said, oh yeah, Apple Coldplay. We all know Apple Coldplay.
Apple Coldplay makes sense. So I want to say another thing about Avril. I don't think I'd ever listened to her music as much as I did because of this podcast. Like, it was one of those things, oh, if it came on, like, that was fun. And maybe I would seek out rock and roll. But other than that, like, I didn't really seek out the music. And so what I've noticed, what I think is interesting about the conspiracy theory that we've talked about this, one of the things is like, oh, well, she has a different nose now, as if people can't get fucking nose jobs.
Right.
But I also remember as a child, my mom telling me that like Barbara Streisand was always told to get a nose job because she has a very Jewish nose. And she was like, no, I'm a singer. It's going to ruin my voice. And then I heard for a while that that's not true. Nose jobs don't actually affect your voice. But I think it's very obvious that Avril got a nose job. And when you listen to all of her music post Let Go, or at least the most recent stuff, everything sounds like she's vaguely congested, like just ever so slightly congested. And it made my mom listen to, I think it was FU, and I was like, listen to this intro and tell me she doesn't sound just a little congested. And my mom was like, oh my god, she does. And this was like over FaceTime too, it wasn't even like the best sound quality, and she was like, yeah, I hear it. So that's something to look out for next time you listen to Avril. She still sounds good. She can hit all these really high notes. And, like, it's also when she gets higher in her register and, like, more belty, you don't hear it. But, like, in the lower notes, she does.
Wow. That's so interesting.
And that's something I noticed because of this podcast and because I've had to listen to so much of her music.
Right. And I guess that kind of makes sense because when you're belting out a high note, you're supposed to do it in, like, a more nasal register. So maybe it just works for those notes.
Yes, it's the same reason that Americans think that British people don't sound British when they sing, but it's actually just because Americans sing British.
Yes. So. That's correct.
Yeah.
Jot that down, Americans.
It still doesn't really make, like, I get it on a logical level because I was a classically trained singer, but I still don't really get it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's really tough to say.
Okay, how else have you changed since starting this podcast?
Well, my life has changed radically. I think that's very obvious. I was, like, unmarried in my second year of law school when we started this podcast. It was before COVID.
It was before COVID.
Yeah.
And here we are, still having COVID.
I had zero cats, zero kids, zero.
You still have zero kids.
Well, one of them is here right now. Is the baby in the room right now?
I guess it depends on whose definition of life you're using. But I'm going to go with the Jewish one, which I believe is first breath.
Interesting.
That might not be right, but I think maybe
Jewish people sound off in the comments.
Jewish people sound off in the comments. I think it's because, like, God made Adam and then Adam took a breath. And, that's something that is in the Torah, maybe. And so that's what we use as the, you're alive now because you can breathe. I also would assume that, like, my sister was born not breathing. And I'm sure her time of birth is still listed as the time she escaped the uterus and not the time she took the first breath. So.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's like, no, sorry, not a person yet.
Yeah, literally.
I realize you're here and kicking and whatnot, but nope. Yeah, my mom always says, because when one of my sisters, who is one of those people who's like pretty not shy, but she's quiet and reserved, and she likes to kind of assess a situation before she starts talking.
Interesting. Can't relate.
When she was born, she didn't start crying. But she was fine. There was no reason for it. She just, didn't start crying. And later on, my mom was like, I think she just didn't want to call attention to herself. She just didn't want it to be a big deal. She was like, oh my god, it would be so embarrassing if I started crying in front of all these doctors. That would make me look so dumb. I have to just be quiet.
That's very funny. Did they, like, I remember, like, in elementary school, they said that they actually, like, need babies to cry when they come out because, like, it helps with their eyes or something. And so they'll, like, spank the baby sometimes if it's not crying.
Yeah, so they have to, like, make sure that the baby is good. And, like, because the thing about crying is it means you're breathing. If you can cry, you can breathe, you know?
Yes.
So.
Interesting.
A lot of it is that. And there's, like, concerns that maybe they, like, swallowed a bunch of, they got fluid in their lungs or whatever the case.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
She was good. She was just being polite.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think my and my sister's birth stories were very indicative of our personalities.
Yeah.
I was 3 days early. I popped right out. I was fucking ready to go. I also ate my twin in the womb.
Right. And, very on brand.
And I'm a Leo. My sister was 3 days late. She was not breathing. And she very much feels like she does not understand how to be a person in the world. I don't know that she would phrase it like that, but she does feel like the world is overwhelming and she doesn't know what's going on in like a like soul sense.
That
in a way
is
that I
totally
cannot
fair.
Relate to.
That's really funny. You guys were just yourselves from the jump. I respect it.
So we'll see about your baby, what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they're not going to be a spooky little bitch because they weren't born on Friday the 13th.
Still October, though.
Still October. Oh, that reminds me. I have to order a cookie cake for my friend's birthday, even though I have no money. She got me a cookie cake, so I get her a cookie cake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exchange. Fair exchange there.
Yeah. And also the cookie cake gave me a discount for another cookie cake, so it's like...
Also cookie cake, fun to say. I think we can all agree. Hey, if you're listening to this podcast, say cookie cake out loud right now. Are you on the subway? Say cookie cake.
Say
you're a coward, you won't. Then if someone asks you why you did that, tell them about this podcast.
Yeah. Just in the middle of like a meeting at work where you're like secretly listening to this podcast.
Cookie cake.
Very good. Yeah, so your life has changed wildly. My life has not changed at all. That's not exactly true. I live in a different apartment and I have a different job.
Yes.
And I make more money. However, something that I've been, here's my like vulnerable moment for the podcast, everybody. Mm-hmm. I think I've already talked to May about this, but now I'm saying it for everyone to hear. I feel like 26 and 27 were the ages where, one, I started to notice that I felt like my skin looked older for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like the age where everybody, and I know it's not everybody, but it feels like all of my friends are moving forward in their lives. I have a friend having a baby. I have a friend who's going to move in with her boyfriend, even though they like just started dating.
I'm sure you approve.
They were official in January.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who is engaged and getting married next year. I have two friends. I have one friend that said he's going to propose to his girlfriend at the end of this year. Another friend that's going to get engaged. I mean, they already went ring shopping. That was months ago though, so I don't know what happened with it, but like planning on getting engaged. And so everyone seems to be moving forward. And I, in that sense, am in the exact same place that I was in 5 years ago. And so it just feels like I was like, fine. I was like, yeah, everyone in New York, like, stay single. Like, being single when you're 27 is, like, super normal in New York. Like, no one gets married till their 30s. Like, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, and I thought everyone was on the same page. And then all of a sudden, everyone was not on the same page.
That's so funny because I feel like everyone's on the same page with that too. Like, I totally feel like an outlier. You know what I mean? So it's like funny that you should say that because I have the reverse where I'm like, no one understands the phase of life I'm in right now at all. Except my friends who live in the Midwest.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I guess you don't. I think a lot of people that I know from high school, like, are getting married now. Even, like, people, and just not, I am not from, like, a conservative little small religious town. Like,
I'm
from
not.
A very liberal city in Michigan, and yet, so many people are married. Even, like, a girl that I know that, like, didn't realize she was gay until I don't know when, but not in high school. And now she just married her girlfriend.
Wow.
And that feels like, oh, well, you should have been delayed because, like, the coming out process and, like, realizing your sexuality and whatever. And nope. I'm still much farther ahead in life than I am.
That's so wild.
So I get that nobody's in your stage of life. You're the only friend that I have that's in your stage specifically. Yeah. But I feel like everybody else is moving towards that, and I am very stationary.
Interesting.
And, like, not necessarily by choice. Like, it's not sat here being like, no, I like being single.
Right.
So.
I'm confused about men. I mean, I think that's another thing that could be a thesis statement of the podcast. I'm confused about men. I don't know what's going on there.
I think a lot about the time on the podcast that you were like, I know that men are bad, but then they, like, do something wild, and every time I'm surprised about it. I don't know if that's exactly what you said. It was something like that. I think it was in regards to Noah from the podcast.
Yeah. Like, that sounds so accurate.
Every time, I'm like, why did you do that?
Yeah, wait a second. That didn't make any sense to do. What? I wouldn't have done it that way. And then I'm like, I guess I should have seen this coming.
Right. I think about that a lot. So, yeah, I don't know. And then it's also really hard because then I see people that are much older than me that I know or, like, used to know or whatever but still have on social media. And I see them with their, like, fiancés that I'm like, that man is so unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels bad because it feels like, well, they had to settle for that.
Mm.
And I'm sure they would not say it like that. I'm sure they would not think about it like that. I'm so sure about that. But it feels like they hit a point. There were no more attractive men. So this is what they got. And so I'm, like, very nervous that that's going to happen to me.
I think that you need to wait for the first round of hot divorces.
I don't want to wait that long.
It could happen very soon. These relationships could fall apart real quick.
I did go on a date one time. The dude was really into me, and I was not feeling it. And I think a lot of it was my own, like, I met him on a dating app. It's, like, my first dating app date, and I was, like...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not my first dating app date, but it was one of those. And early. I was just very resistant to dating apps. I still am. But he... I don't think he'd been married, but he had been engaged and called off the engagement. And that was a whole thing that he and I talked about on the first date.
Now that's a wild first date topic, I must say.
Yeah, well, so I don't want to wait for the first round of divorces. I would like somebody...
Hot divorces.
Yes, hot divorces. I would like somebody now.
That's fair.
And it just feels... It also feels internally bad because what I get, like, I look at this is, I'm not saying this about George, I'm saying this about other people. I look at my friends' partners, and they're always people that I, no offense if they're listening, absolutely don't want to be with them, absolutely not attracted to, don't like their personalities, like, not interested.
Malin, there's so many annoying people out there. There are so many people out there that are not for me. I would say the vast majority. So yes. I don't see where that could be insulting. Well, I guess if it was directly at your partner, perhaps.
Yes, but I'm just saying about my friends' partners. They're people I don't want to be with.
Yeah, of course.
For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I brought that up for a reason. Oh, which, I don't know, I guess was just to say that, like, I... like, understand they're with people I don't want to be with, and so I wouldn't, like, I shouldn't be looking at them as, like, well, you met somebody,
because
clearly they were looking for something that I am not looking for.
They didn't take a chess piece off the board.
Right. It's a very good analogy. No, they did not take a chess piece off the board. They were playing a wildly different game of chess.
They were playing checkers. I don't know what's going on over there.
They were straight up playing Monopoly.
Yeah.
But...
a simple game of Go.
But it's even more like, I don't know, like, my friend and I were getting food the other night, or literally last night, and they were like, oh, it's gonna be an hour wait, and we were like, you said it was gonna be 15 minutes, and they're like, now it's an hour, and we were like, we think you just don't like us, but that's okay. So we went to a bar across the street to wait, and just, like, got ginger ales, and, but I was like, I want to see... I don't know how to approach men. So I was like, let's go to this bar and, like, see if there's a man for me. And the fact, like, there were guys that I thought were cute at this bar, potentially. But, like, did anybody try to talk to me? No. Did I talk to anybody? No. then it makes me feel bad about myself. Because then I'm like, am I trying for something that I cannot actually have? Should I be settling for these dudes that my friends are dating that I don't like?
I don't think so. But what do I know? I met my husband in literal middle school, so I don't know.
Gross. I don't think there's anybody from middle school that I would want to be with. I tried high school. I tried Noah.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
It was content.
It was content.
As we've established, it was content.
Yeah. It's also hard just because I really think I deserve, like, not literally Zac Efron, but, like, Zac adjacent. I really feel like I deserve, like, that level or, like, that close of a thing that I want.
Right.
And so then I'm like, am I being delusional? And or, like, how would I get that? Like, I don't
even...
I think
you need to move to LA, Sabra. I think you need to stop fighting it.
I'm not going to move to LA. I think I would do much worse dating in LA.
Interesting.
I mean, it's really hard to do worse than I'm currently doing.
I just think there's a lot fewer finance bros, and I think you would be more likely to find a himbo who wasn't also in finance.
But I love finance bros.
It's true. Finance bros derogatory.
No, I love a finance bro.
If you're a finance bro listening to this podcast, and you're not the person who asked Sabra to hang out at 3 a.m. to go to a bar, whatever the hell that story was, the dude who, like, texted you was like, I'm really drunk right now, and it was, like, a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The dude who kept being like, oh, yeah, I was out till 4 in the morning yesterday.
Super cool
and
trait.
And I was like, I think we are not on the same page and we don't want the same thing. And he goes, do you want, like, oh, so you want kids? And I was like,
wild. Wild.
What the fuck?
That's not LA energy, I'll say that.
But I'm concerned that LA is a lot of, like, models and I don't look like a model. So.
Models don't look like models, in fairness. When you see them in person, you're like, what's going on?
That is true. But I love a finance bro, so. And also, I don't know how to drive, and I refuse to learn.
Oh, that's actually, that's the thing that breaks the whole thing apart.
Yeah. It's also that I don't think I could make enough money where I'm at in my career right now to where LA would make sense. I understand technically LA is less expensive than New York, but once you've learned to live in a certain place, LA has now all of these other costs that I don't currently
absolutely.
Pay for, like a car insurance,
parking.
Gas.
All the time parking.
Parking, right. So that's going
to
be a no.
Air One. You're required legally to go to Air One at least twice a week.
You just have to hang out at Nobu all the time, apparently.
Yes. I mean, that's what Avril and Tyga did. So.
Yeah, exactly.
We tied it back into the... It took us a while, but we tied it back in.
Well, I was thinking about Avril when we said something earlier, and then I didn't say it, and I moved on.
Hell yeah. So. What do we need to talk about her for?
I don't know. I was just thinking about her.
I wonder what she's up to.
Yeah, like the Roman Empire thing. I mean, I've already said my Roman Empire is the Iraq War. I think about the Iraq War constantly.
Yes.
Also, Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
But those two things are related. So
they're extremely related.
Extremely related. So anyway, that's my vulnerable moment of feeling that I am very behind in a way. I think it's also a little bit, I'm just going to say this last piece, TV warps your brain.
Yes, it does.
And in a lot of ways, I understand that TV is not real life. I think I very much hit a point where I was like, well, these characters on TV shows have these, like, very set friend groups. That's not real life, and that's not how my life works, and that's fine. And, like, I don't actually want my life to work like that. I don't want my friends to hang out without me. So, better that they just don't know each other. But it also, like, when you look at, like, not friends. I don't know how old they are in Friends. I think Ross is like 28, but that doesn't count. In How I Met Your Mother, I think Ted maybe is like 27 when the show
starts.
That's
so crazy.
I know. And in New Girl, Schmidt's 29, Nick is 30, Jess is probably 30, though I don't know that's outright stated. And so you look at these shows and you're like, oh yeah, see, like, it's so normal to be single in your 30s. Like, oh yeah, you're gonna date for like 10 more years before you like meet somebody. And then none of my friends got on board with that.
Yeah, what the hell? By Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, in the words of Avril Lavigne, what the hell? In the words of Olivia Rodrigo, it's brutal out here.
It's so true.
So anyway, that's life, guys. And someday we'll see you again, maybe.
Yeah.
And
looking forward to it. Get in Sabra's DMs. Demand that I return. She'll send me all the screenshots.
I will send all the screenshots. You can also send a voice memo. And you should also rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Although I can see the analytics. And when, oh, this is the other thing, when you were like, if you're a finance bro, like 99% of our listeners are women. So
yeah.
Like 18 to 24 year old women.
If you're the 1%. And yeah. Sabra wants to occupy Wall Street, wink.
I think about Occupy a lot.
Genuinely, me too. This podcast went off the rails 15 minutes ago, at least.
I needed to say my piece.
I agree with you. Listen, I support the podcast going off the rails, but I can also acknowledge it.
Yes, we tried, guys. We tried to make Avril content. So let us know, rate and review us, and this has been another episode of What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious?
Also, other thing I need to say.